Welcome to the podcast Career Connections with the HR Insider, where we teach you how to stay, flow, or go in your career with your host, Barbara Mason, bringing you 20 years of the inside scoop and what really matters in your career. Our passion is helping you find yours.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Career Connections with your host, Barbara Mason. I'm going to take you behind the curtains on an interview that I recently had on the radio with Rhonda Robinson on her Solutions radio show. Rhonda and I talked for about 45 minutes with all things careers, from resumes to LinkedIn and to interviews. You're going to join in on the conversation as we are talking about resumes. Take a listen.
Okay.
But what is going to stand out are the results you have achieved.
Okay.
Not your job description.
Okay.
We don't care that you've been responsible, you know, for accounts payable. I want to know, how many accounts did you close?
Oh, there's a difference.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, if you read it like a job description, it's not telling me how you did it. It's just saying what the job is.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
two different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people are hiring based on results. Again, what's going to separate you from the other candidate? It's mm-hmm. all about differentiation.
Because you have to think about the fact that they have so many resumes to sort through.
Tons.
So how do you stand out?
You stand out. One, the results is the key piece. So again, imagine if I have two candidates mm-hmm. that have the same education, the same work experience, and let's say they both work for great companies that are well known.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the results. So how much money did you save? How many projects did you complete? Just things like that mm-hmm. that stand out. So numbers, metrics, percentages.
Mm-hmm.
If you managed a team, how big was the team?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone who managed 5 people is much different than someone who managed a team of 20 people across state lines.
Right, right.
So do you see the difference? It makes it, that's how you stand out.
Yeah. And then the spelling, man, I can't even tell you. How many times I've had HR directors like pulling their hair out because they got a resume from a person that presented well. They looked good. They had their little 30-second elevator speech.
Right.
It sounded good on the phone, but then they got the resume.
And that turned it all around. Absolutely. And it's part of your visual brand, your resume, your cover letter, and your appearance. Those three work in tandem, and they all need to agree.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can look the part, but if you cannot spell, because what it does is it makes you seem like you're not into details.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there's spell check, there's a friend that can look at it, there's Grammarly, there's so many things you can do
mm-hmm.
to make sure it's spelled correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't do that, what does that communicate to the potential employer?
Mm-hmm. And then also, I know it may be a challenge for some people, or you may not want to check and double check and look at it 3 and 4 times before you send it, but you really need to.
You have to
make sure you don't miss those small little things.
Absolutely. And one of the techniques I talk about in the book is not just you proofing it, but letting someone else proof it. Because after you've worked on something for so long,
mm-hmm.
it kind of goes by you, and
mm-hmm.
you don't see the small things.
Mm-hmm.
If you get someone else to look at it, they'll say, oh, you're missing a word.
Right.
And again, missing a word, spell check is not going to pick that up.
Mm-mm.
So again, that's the whole grammar piece, is making sure that it's a complete thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting those second set of eyes, I think, is key, because they're going to look at it, hopefully, objectively. Like, you're kind of married to this because you have been working
right.
on it for so long.
Right.
But that other person is just going to be there. It's going to be a fresh set of eyes, and they're going to look at it from a different perspective,
right.
through different eyes.
Absolutely.
And so things are going to stand out to them that never would have stood out to you.
Yeah, and that little extra 10 minutes can make a world of difference.
Wow. All right, so tell us the name of the book again and where we can find it.
Yeah, so the book is called How to Create a Resume That Gets a Yes,
mm-hmm.
and you can find it at bit.ly/yes Yes on Resume.
All right. Now, we're going to talk much more about this book in a few minutes. We're going to have to go to break soon. But I want to really dive in when we get back and talk a little bit about folks who may be making a career change and some tips for those folks. You've been on a job for, say, 30 years. and you just know that you want to do something different.
Right.
So there are different categories. There are those who already know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then there are those who just like, I just know that I don't want to work here anymore.
Right.
And exactly. Then there are those who may be wanting to dip their feet in the entrepreneur side. So do they need a resume? So let's talk about all of that
Okay. When
we get back from commercial in just a few minutes.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you.
Ursula Smith presents the Brown Sugar Nutcracker. It's a new twist to a classic tale that shares cultural history and journey of adventure. The Brown Sugar Nutcracker has been a family heirloom of the Brown family for generations. And on the night of the annual Ugly Sweater Christmas party, Marissa inherits the family tradition. Ursula Smith presents an event that would be hard to forget. You don't want to miss it. Saturday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at Dorothy Jameson Day Theater in downtown Birmingham. Check it out. TheBrownSugarNutcracker.com for more information.
As women, we enjoy caring for others. But now, it's our time. We will open up a dialogue to discuss our wins, our losses, our journeys. We inspire one another, encourage self-care, and hold each other accountable. Get your tickets now for the Sisterhood Summit, November 10th, 2018, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Firm Foundation Church. Check out thefirmfoundationchurch.com or call 205-500-1398 for more information.
You are not alone. Magic City Counseling Services is here to help. Give us a call, 205-276-7279.
So how's life as a new coffee shop owner?
So far, so good. I'm getting new customers each day, but I'm not at the point where I can afford to buy insurance coverage for myself.
Have you ever heard of direct primary care? It works for me and my pocket.
Healthcare that's affordable? Sounds too good to be true.
It's the real deal. It's like a membership to a doctor's office. You pay a monthly flat rate fee of $70 for unlimited visits and direct access to your doctor.
Okay, I may check this out.
You won't regret it. Stop by Brownstone Total Family Healthcare or call 205-202-5650 for more information.
I dare you say that my behavior is unacceptable, so condescending, unnecessary, and critical. I have the tendency of getting very physical, so watch your step, cause if I do, you need a miracle. You dream me dying, make me wonder why I'm even here. The double vision I was seeing is finally clear. You want to stay, but you know very well I want you gone.
Welcome back in. I'm Rhonda Robinson. You're listening to Solutions. Thanks so much for joining us in the studio. Barbara Mason with Career Pathways Consulting. Hey, we're talking about resumes today, folks. If you're looking for that job, if you're trying to make a career change, if you're thinking about jumping into entrepreneurship, hey, we're going to help you out, okay? So what are your suggestions? If I've been on that job for 30 plus years and I know I want to make a switch, I have another job that I'm interested in, how do I change that resume to apply to that new job that I want to apply for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to change your resume, first you want to, if you already know what you want to go do, you want to look and see what are the skills necessary for that job and do something what I call transferable skills. So what skills do you have today that are transferable? So things like leadership or organizing.
Okay.
So even though you may be leading, let's say, in a manufacturing environment, but you want to get into healthcare, leading a team, those are still leadership skills.
Okay.
So you want to be able to show that. And for a lot of people, if you're looking to switch from a completely different career, you may have to change your resume to more of a functional style resume versus a chronological resume.
Okay.
And that just simply means that you're going to highlight your skills more than just the chronological dates that you've worked places.
Okay. So chronological is just saying from A, B, C, D, E, from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, it's very linear. So it goes by date and the positions and the progression that you've had versus a functional resume. It's going to be more highlighting your skills and your experiences. So it leaves off the dates and it leaves off the places that you've worked.
Okay. And how do you know which jobs that each type of resume is better for?
Yeah, so the standard resume, which is the chronological, is best if you have had work history that is linear, meaning there haven't been any gaps and you want to stay in the same industry.
Okay.
But let's say you want to jump from manufacturing to healthcare. Mm-hmm. It's two completely different industries and you don't have any experience in healthcare. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to show necessarily, I have worked at this plant from this plant to this plant. You want to talk about what you did and
okay.
just take out the skills and the experiences
okay.
and not necessarily that it was a manufacturing, you know, supervisor.
Okay. So show how your skill set applies to this new job that you want to get.
Right.
Okay.
Because you want to highlight the skills that are necessary for the new job and pull out as much as you can. Also,
okay.
you want to make sure that you have a cover letter in those situations because your cover letter is a great supplement for you to talk about the reason why you want to make the change or how your skills are a match for the new industry, the new field, the new job.
I'm glad you mentioned that because some people tell us that you don't need a cover letter. So the cover letter is important.
The cover letter is important. Now,
okay.
Me being in HR, I read cover letters probably, I don't know, 10% of the time.
Okay.
Because a lot of times people are applying, if you're applying something internally, a lot of times you don't need a cover letter.
Okay.
But if you are making a career change, you absolutely need a cover letter because you can explain and communicate things that you can't do in the resume.
Okay.
It's a great way for you to talk about, oh, I'm relocating from Maryland to the South because mm-hmm. of my husband's in the military and mm-hmm. I'm looking to switch careers. I mean, you can talk about that mm-hmm. versus they won't be able to pick that up from your resume.
Okay. How long should you make it? Should it stick to one page?
One page for a cover letter.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because there are some cover letters that will go on and on and on for
no,
days.
Ma'am.
And so at some point you need to kind of have a concise.
Yes. And there's a okay. structure that you follow. You want to talk about one, what job you're applying for. That's usually the first paragraph. In the middle, you're going to talk about what you can do for the company and then what you're looking for the job to do for you, and then you close with content. It's very simple structure, one page.
Okay. And if your cover letter, if you're listening and your cover letter is more than a page, you need to cut some stuff out.
Yes. And I keep going back to Rhonda, think about the mind of the person who has to see it. So if I have 150 resumes minimum,
mm-hmm.
I'm not reading your two-page cover letter.
No.
I don't have time.
No. Not even if I wanted to.
I can't.
Right. Okay. So you have your cover letter, but it's only a cover letter if you are changing careers.
That's when
folks.
It's most important.
Okay. Now, we talked about that person who's on that 30-year stretch job, and they want to go to a different career. All right. So what about the person who's been on that job forever? They have no clue what they want to do next, so they can't really cater the resume to a certain field, but they know they want to go somewhere.
Right.
What do they do?
Well, first, I'm going to always point you back to you have to be self-aware and know why you want to leave.
Okay.
To help you figure out what you want to go do next.
Okay.
Again, I've heard that before. Well, I don't know what I want to do. I just know I don't want to do this. That's great. Step one. So step two is, what is it that you don't like about your job?
Okay.
Is it leadership? Is it hours? Is it the type of work? Is it the industry? Because otherwise, how can you make a choice of what to do different
mm-hmm.
if you can't communicate what you don't like about it?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the first step. And mm-hmm. people hate to, but you have to go through it
mm-hmm.
to figure out what to do. And then the resume comes later. Otherwise, remember, your resume should be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be targeted if you don't know what the target is.
That's right. And that's always surprised me when people are like, I know I want to do something, but I'm like, so what are you applying for? I mean, what are you,
anything.
How,
anything.
Yeah, what are you selling? You got to put something in there. All right. So for entrepreneurs, do entrepreneurs need a resume?
I'm still going to say yes, and this is the
okay.
reason why, especially when you're starting your entrepreneurial journey, is because a lot of times when you're building your business, you want to network,
okay.
you want to talk to people about your services, and that is a great way to just talk about your past experiences.
Okay.
So, for example, I've been doing HR for 20 years. If I was looking to leave my job and, let's say, go work for another career consulting
mm-hmm.
company, they're going to want to know, okay, well, tell me what you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy way. And then also, if you're on LinkedIn, it's a great way to kind of just share information. So I think in the beginning, yes, you do.
Okay.
Once you're established and you don't plan to go back to the work field, maybe not.
Okay.
But I don't think it hurts.
So for a new entrepreneur who maybe kind of needs to show people, hey, I have the qualifications and certifications and the degrees to back up the reason why you should hire me to be your consultant.
Right. And
okay.
I think also you can take the components of a resume. It may not be called a resume. You can do like a professional business or summary or whatever. Because again, let's say you're getting new clients. You probably want a one sheet that talks about your experiences, companies you worked for, and kind of your key projects.
Right.
If you're going to be your own project manager, you know, have a project management consulting firm, you can talk about, I've won these awards or whatever. So it's the components of a resume, but the structure can definitely be different.
Right. But it's something that allows you to showcase why you're qualified to be the owner of said company.
That's right. Absolutely. Oh. Something that you can send, because remember, it's you on paper.
Okay.
And so before you get that meeting, before they can meet you and see how great you are, you may have to send them something.
You may have to. Now, the resumes themselves come in different forms now. When I was growing up, you know, you put it on that nice paper and you came to the interview with that paper and you handed it over. Now everything is digital and electronic. Do you even need to print out a resume anymore? Do you just email everything now, or you just put it on your LinkedIn account and everybody pulls it up? What do you suggest?
Yeah, so I suggest that definitely you want to have an electronic version. But yes, you should have a paper copy when you go to the interview. Don't just assume that they have it already printed out for your interview panel. Have it just in case.
Okay.
It's always better to be safe than sorry.
Okay.
But yes, obviously you would have it digitally where you can email it electronically whenever you need.
Okay. Now, if I have made a mistake on my resume and I know it's there, I've already sent it, do I even address it in the interview? Do I bring the remix version?
Yes, I think you can bring the remix version. I don't know that I would say, hey, I brought you a new copy because I made a mistake. You can say, hey, I've updated some things since I applied for the job, and here is a new copy in case you need it.
All in how you present it.
Absolutely. Got to have some finesse about it.
So you don't like draw a circle or a target and say, I misspelled that word right there, so I'm giving you another one.
You just say, I made some updates since I applied. For all they know, you could have just updated a particular project you worked on, or maybe you had the wrong date for the company you worked for. It's just, I made some updates, and I would love for you to have the new copy.
Yeah. This is my most recent version.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's usually a gap between when you apply for something and when you get the interview.
I love that. I love the way you present that. I love that. Yes, I've made some updates since I sent that to you last week.
That's right.
But I love that because then it doesn't really highlight whatever mistake you made. And we make those mistakes.
Right.
And you hit that send button and then you're looking at it 2 days later and you're like, oh, no. Yeah, so I have been there. This is really some great information. Let's give the phone number to your business, website, all that good information for folks who may be hearing about it for the first time.
Absolutely. So the website address is www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com. The phone number is 205-259-6161. And you can find me on social media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, all under Career Pathways Consulting.
She's everywhere, folks, if you
everywhere.
Didn't know. Let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn. How important is this? Like, if you are looking for a job or if you're not looking for a job.
It is super important. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I'm actually about to do a LinkedIn career clinic in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But this is what I actually did a Facebook Live last night talking about. LinkedIn is the twin to the resume.
Okay.
And so just like natural twins, LinkedIn looks similar, but it has a different function. So you absolutely need a LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
You can't just have just the one.
Okay. Even if you're not looking for a job.
Even if you're not looking. The purpose of LinkedIn, the primary focus is for networking. And
okay.
So in your career, you need to have a professional network. People miss that all the time, and you try to create one when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to already have it in place.
Mm.
And so that's the primary focus of LinkedIn. But then the secondary result of LinkedIn is jobs. Jobs come to you instead of you having to apply for jobs.
Oh, okay.
So that is why you need both.
Okay. Now, if you have LinkedIn, like my girlfriend told me the other day, I hadn't been on there in years. So you need to keep it updated, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You need to keep it updated. A lot of people are like, oh, I have a LinkedIn account. You go out there, there's no picture, no profile. They just have a username and password. But I would say 90% of employers go look at your LinkedIn profile.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. When you apply for a job, or if they meet you somewhere at a networking event, or it could be even in Starbucks. I do that all the time. Let me see if they're on LinkedIn or whatever. Somebody gives me their name. Oh, let me see their job history. What have they done? So, yes, you should be on LinkedIn. And when you're not, it's like, how are you not on LinkedIn? That's how the employer sees it. That's how recruiters see it. So if you are in the professional career world, you absolutely should have a LinkedIn profile.
And so if you don't, is that a red flag for an employer, or what are they thinking?
They're thinking that you're not up to date. That's number one.
Okay.
Because it's so, I mean, it's just what you do.
Okay.
And again, that is the, I call it, it's like Facebook for career professionals. And so even if you're not a social media Facebook person, it's all professional. It has so many good articles and connections and networks that you can make. It's like, why wouldn't you?
Okay. And it's almost one of those things like you kind of have to have it and get in there and play around in the different things to understand how helpful it can be.
Absolutely.
Because there are little things that you find, like I found people that I worked with 10, 20 years ago on LinkedIn who just happened to find my account. So I think it's useful. It's useful.
It is so useful. And even people that are looking for a job or looking to switch careers, I always point them back to LinkedIn to do searches. And there's some key targeted things that you can do to get information that you can't get other places.
Okay. Well, we're going to dive in and talk a little more in just a few minutes when we get back, because I want to talk about that interview and also social media and how that can impact whether or not you get that big job you're trying to get.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Solutions with Rhonda Robinson is produced by Lockett in Media. Thanks for listening to this Carmine Communications production.
From the Crawford Broadcasting Studios, this is the new WXJC 101.1 FM and 850 AM, North and Central Alabama's home for the best Bible teachers in America. This is WXJC FM, WXJC HD Coleman, WDJC HD2 Birmingham, and WXJC AM Birmingham.
As women, we enjoy caring for others. But now it's our time. We will open up a dialogue to discuss our wins, our losses, our journeys. We inspire one another, encourage self-care, and hold each other accountable. Get your tickets now for the Sisterhood Summit, November 10th, 2018, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Firm Foundation Church. Check out thefirmfoundationchurch.com or call 205-500-1398 for more information.
So how's life as a new coffee shop owner?
So far, so good. I'm getting new customers each day, but I'm not at the point where I can afford to buy insurance coverage for myself.
Have you ever heard of Direct Primary Care? It works for me and my pocket.
Healthcare that's affordable? Sounds too good to be true.
It's the real deal. It's like a membership to a doctor's office. You pay a monthly flat rate fee of $70 for unlimited visits and direct access to your doctor.
Okay, I may check this out.
You won't regret it. Stop by Brownstone Total Family Healthcare or call 205-202-5650 for more information.
Ursula Smith presents the Brown Sugar Nutcracker. It's a new twist to a classic tale that shares cultural history and journey of adventure. The Brown Sugar Nutcracker has been a family heirloom of the Brown family for generations. And on the night of the annual Ugly Sweater Christmas Party, Marissa inherits the family tradition. Ursula Smith presents an event that would be hard to forget. You don't want to miss it. Saturday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at Dorothy Jameson Day Theater in downtown Birmingham. Check it out. TheBrownSugarNutcracker.com for more information.
You are not alone. Magic City Counseling Services is here to help. Give us a call, 205-276-7279.
Welcome back. I'm Rhonda Robinson. You're listening to Solutions. We're talking all about resumes. Hey, if you are trying to make a career change, if you're thinking about entrepreneurship, If you just want to switch things up, looking for that first job, we got all the answers for you right here on this show today. Barbara Mason is the expert in the studio right now, owner of Career Pathways Consulting. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
Man, you're dropping the knowledge today. We sure do appreciate it. I want to talk to the young folks because, you know, being in college, I'm still 21, so I'm there. but seriously, I want to talk to the young folks, the college students, the folks who may be graduating, looking for that first job. It's not as easy as just walking across the stage and boom, you're going to get that big career that you've been dreaming about. We want that for you,
right?
But it takes a little work, a little finessing to get it, to land it.
Absolutely.
Any advice to those folks?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to bring you all the way back to freshman year in college at least. And what I mean by that is you need to work while you are in college. Mm-hmm. Now, before the parents go off and say, no, they need to get the grades, in your summers, mm-hmm. at the very least, you need to work. Do not let your first job be the one out of college.
Okay.
You're doing your children a disservice if you do that. So I definitely promote doing, and really, my typical practice is I want you to volunteer, mm-hmm. starting from when you're entering into ninth grade, that summer before your ninth grade in high school.
Okay.
Start to volunteer and work. It does so many different things for the children. But if you're in college, you should be doing co-ops and internships at a minimum during the summer.
Wow.
To have work experience. It does, one, it starts to establish your work ethic.
Okay.
Two, it helps you figure out what you like and what you don't like. Mm-hmm. So you may be going to school for dentistry. Mm-hmm. Then go work in a dental office, mm-hmm. for the summer, mm-hmm. to see if you really like to look
at
people's,
right.
mouths.
That's right.
Maybe you don't.
That's right.
You know, so it gives you all of that kind of experience. And it puts you ahead on your resume to go and apply for a job.
Mm-hmm. And
otherwise,
you're building your resume all along.
Otherwise, it's going to be blank.
Yeah.
And blank resumes don't get hired.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how much an internship will teach you about a career.
Oh, it absolutely will. And teach you about yourself.
Yeah.
And also it starts to help you to manage money, which, mm-hmm. is a huge part of when you start to graduate and you, mm-hmm. think, well, that's not related to your career. It absolutely is related to your career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then also you start to be astute about when you start working, what benefits do the companies offer? You can be a student of the business to know what you should ask for. What do they offer? What's going to be good for you?
Yeah.
All of that kind of stuff helps,
yeah,
when you have worked before.
The fun thing when I worked in TV was just the interns who would come in thinking it was such a glamorous job, and then they got to see how hard we worked, and some of them were like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Uh-huh.
Because you just see the finished product.
That's
which is
right.
on the news, but they don't see us running around like a chicken with our heads cut off,
right.
trying to get all the information so that we can get it on the news.
Right.
So yes, an internship would teach you so much. Let's talk a little bit about social media and your activities on social media and how potential employers sometimes pull up your Facebook page.
Not sometimes. All the time? Yes, ma'am. And think about it again from an employer. I'm always teaching you, think about your receiver. So think about an employer in today's age and you're hiring. Why would you not? It's like a list. We go to Facebook, we go to LinkedIn. We want to, those are the primary, and maybe Instagram, but those are the primary functions. We're going to go look. And so what you have on your social media is definitely an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, a lot for my millennials, you may not be thinking that way in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that you keep your social media presence, you know, as, I'm going to say, bland as possible. there's a time and a place for everything, but they absolutely are looking.
Yeah, you may think that certain picture is cute or whatever, but it may not be cute to your potential employer or not to the corporate environment or whatever. You got to think about that stuff.
Absolutely. And then you being very, verbal about your opinions about certain touchy topics,
mm-hmm.
that, again, depending on who your employer is and what their stance is, putting that stuff out there may be a deterrent.
Wow. And I think because I'm so thankful it wasn't around when I was in college.
Amen.
I just think when you're just, it's a different mindset. And when you're in school, you want to have fun.
Right.
You want to, you know, do stuff. And
you want to take the picture.
Right.
You know, with the drink in your hand or whatever.
It's just not smart.
It's not. And you have to be thinking about that long term.
Yeah. And even if you delete it. guess what?
It's still there. Or you may be tagged in someone else's photo.
Mm-hmm. And not know it.
That's right.
And it's out there circulating.
Yes, it is.
Even though it's not on your page.
Right. And again, even once you get the job, you need to manage your social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're supposed to be at work, you know, and you're on the beach, but you called in sick and you're putting it on Facebook, that's not real smart.
It's not. It's not.
You would be amazed how many people get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. All the time.
I was told, someone told me, they were like, you should Google yourself and see what's out there. I was like, you know what? I should.
Yes.
I've never tried to do that to see just what's out there.
Again, it's part of your brand. And
mm-hmm.
that's a huge term now, you know, in the workforce. What brand are you projecting out there? Is it the brand that you want to project?
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things make up your brand. There's a visual brand. There's a verbal brand. All of that stuff, you know, constitutes who you are or who people think you are.
Wow. We're talking about resumes on solutions today. Tell folks about this book that you wrote that is available. It's an ebook, right?
Yes, it's available. It's a free ebook. It's called How to Create a Resume That Gets a Yes.
Wow.
So again, that is the whole goal. You don't write it just to write it. You want to get a job.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
the resume is to get you the interview. The interview gets you the job. And so you can get that book at bit.ly/yes-on-resume.
Wow. And so tell us a little bit about what you talk about in the book that actually helps you get that yes.
Yeah. So in the book, I talk about what the things the hiring managers are looking for.
Okay.
So I've seen thousands of resumes. And so I know a little bit about what they're looking for. And then I also give you, I break it into five key areas, strategies. Fix these five things. It will transform your resume today.
Wow.
So it doesn't take long. But if you do these five things, it will automatically make your resume look different and be seen.
So we know spelling is an issue for some folks and grammar. What are some other mistakes that we make?
Yeah, so one is not customizing. What I mean by that, people have one resume for every job they apply for.
Just copy and paste.
Copy and paste. And again, I would say, 2 decades ago, that was okay. It's not okay now.
Okay.
There's a huge thing about keywords. So again, if you're applying for government jobs or large companies, they have what they call applicant tracking systems that picks up keywords.
Hmm.
And so again, if you're not customizing it to the job description, it may not pick you up.
Wow.
So the customization and the relevance is a big thing that people miss. They do one resume and they selling on that for 5 years. They are selling on... They're selling on in and going to use it for everything. And you just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Another thing is, we talked about earlier, is the job description phenomenon. It reads like a job description. So basically, you just cut and paste. This is what the job is. But you haven't talked about your results,
mm-hmm.
what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
What have you accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very key differentiator when we're looking at candidates.
Wow. So when I'm going around looking at the different job openings, and you see the job description on there, how important is that? Is the employer pretty much telling you, writing you a whole road map to, this is what I'm looking for?
Absolutely it is. And
you should pay attention to that.
You should absolutely. That's what it's there for.
Okay.
It's going to tell you, again, what are the requirements? So what things are an absolute versus what is desired? So if they say we want 3 to 5 years experience and you have zero,
mm-hmm.
then you probably know you're not going to be in the yes pile, at least right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you should pay attention to it. It's going to also tell you what the job is. So you can speak to it in your resume. And then when you get the interview, you need to speak to that.
Okay. Okay.
So, yes, you need to be a student of the job description.
So
you need to know it.
They're telling you what they want. Now, if you turn in a resume that says all this other stuff that
right.
they didn't say they wanted, you may be great at all this other stuff.
Right.
But it's not what they want.
Absolutely.
Okay. So pay attention to those key words. If it says good interpersonal skills or problem solving
right.
or whatever, they're looking for that.
They are absolutely looking
okay.
for that.
Okay. Okay. Your appearance. Okay, you got the resume in there. You got that first interview. What do we need to look like now? Because, you know, times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still come to the job interview with a suit on, or can we wear casual now? What's the going thing to do now?
traditional is still in.
Okay.
Trendy is not. It's not time to be trendy for
okay.
the interview.
Okay.
And again, I know that a lot of people, they get upset when I say that, but that is the truth. If you want to know the truth
okay.
about what sales and what's going to brand you, it's still traditional. So yes, you should wear a suit. Now you can wear a pantsuit, you can wear a skirt suit. But again, for most positions, you should be in that. Now, if you're applying to something that's like maybe construction or a plant or manufacturing, you may be a-okay to wear khakis and a button down. You know, you want to be at least one level above of what the employers are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they normally wear jeans, then you may be out of place to wear a suit. You
okay.
kind of have to know the culture, but you can they're not going to be upset that you wore a suit. So you can never go wrong.
Okay. So jeans, probably not.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Never.
Okay. Because, you know, times have changed and, you know, we got some millennials listening who may feel like anything goes. So I just want to make sure we talk about, you know, first impressions. And many times you don't get a second chance to make
Do
a
not.
First impression.
And remember, it's all about standing out. So you're never the only person that applies for a job. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're always in competition with someone else. And so you better believe you want to come in there with your nice, you know, jeans, but then the person behind you comes in with a suit and every detail is in place.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a different, it doesn't have to be true.
Right.
But the impression is, oh, they have it all together.
Yeah.
You may have it more together than them, but I don't know that.
Yeah. You didn't put that extra effort
right.
to make yourself stand out.
Right.
You look just like anybody who could have just walked in.
Right.
Versus this person kind of was like, I'm going to wear a suit. I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
gonna
in
do
human
that.
Behavior, you respond to people. You have somebody that walks in a suit, your mind goes to a different place versus someone who's in jeans. They could be nice jeans, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, as the applicant, you can't control
mm-hmm.
that. That is human behavior.
Mm-hmm. How much research should I do on the company? Like when I come to that first interview, should I be prepared to tell the HR person that I know that it's a locally owned company and they use local ingredients from farmers right here in
yes.
Alabama? I mean, should I be prepared to say stuff like that?
Yes, you should.
Okay.
You should. And again, I always say they're not only interviewing you, but you're interviewing them. And
okay.
so again, if you're going to spend your time at a place,
mm-hmm.
you need to know about the place. You need to know, one, how they make money. So what is their core line of business? How
mm-hmm.
do they, you know, receive income? How do they do it? Where are they located?
Mm-hmm.
Are, you know, geographically? What have they had any recent changes like mergers or acquisitions? And yes, and there is ways that you can bring that up in the interview without sounding like, oh, I did my homework and here's all the five things I found out about you. There's a subtle way to do that.
Okay, we're going to talk some more about that because I'm really interested in getting your insight on that. When we get right back, we'll be right back.
You are not alone. Magic City Counseling Services is here to help. Give us a call, 205-276-7279.
So how's life as a new coffee shop owner?
So far, so good. I'm getting new customers each day, but I'm not at the point where I can afford to buy insurance coverage for myself.
Have you ever heard of Direct Primary Care? It works for me and my pocket.
Healthcare that's affordable? Sounds too good to be true.
It's the real deal. It's like a membership to a doctor's office. You pay a monthly flat rate fee of $70 for unlimited visits and direct access to your doctor.
Okay, I may check this out.
You won't regret it. Stop by Brownstone Total Family Healthcare or call 205-202-5650 for more information.
Ursula Smith presents the Brown Sugar Nutcracker. It's a new twist to a classic tale that shares cultural history and journey of adventure. The Brown Sugar Nutcracker has been a family heirloom of the Brown family for generations. And on the night of the annual Ugly Sweater Christmas Party, Marissa inherits the family tradition. Ursula Smith presents an event that would be hard to forget. You don't want to miss it. Saturday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at Dorothy Jameson Day Theater in downtown Birmingham. Check it out. TheBrownSugarNutcracker.com for more information.
As women, we enjoy caring for others. But now, it's our time. We will open up a dialogue to discuss our wins, our losses, our journeys. We inspire one another, encourage self-care, and hold each other accountable. Get your tickets now for the Sisterhood Summit, November 10th, 2018, from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Firm Foundation Church. Check out thefirmfoundationchurch.com or call 205-500-1398 for more information.
She took down a photograph of our wedding day, ripped it down the middle and threw my half away. And I got nobody to blame but me.
Welcome back. I'm Rhonda Robinson. You're listening to Solutions in the Studio with Barbara Mason. We're talking about resumes. We're going to get you that job today.
That's right.
So before the commercial break, we were talking about just making sure that once you have your resume tight and good and in order and it lands you that first interview, we want to make sure when you get there that you are giving that first impression, right?
Right.
So you talked about how tradition is in. Make sure you dress up, show your best,
right?
With what you're going to wear. All right, now, what are you going to say? Do you still need to be prepared with that 30-second elevator speech that we always hear people talk about?
You need to be prepared to be able to talk about yourself in a concise way. So usually the very first question in any interview is, tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know it, it's going to come. So you need to be prepared. And again, I think in the interview, you have at least 1 or 2 minutes that you can talk. So a little bit more than 30 seconds, but it needs to be a high-level Cliff Notes summary of you and what you've done.
Okay.
So you need to be very strategic about your words and what you say.
So you are selling yourself right now.
Yes, you are.
And so you need to not just wing it.
No, you do not need
you
to
need
wing
to
it.
Put some thought into it.
Right. And okay. Try to get as much as you can in that, 60, 120 seconds.
Because what you don't want to do is walk out and then you're like, oh, man, I wish I had said this.
Yes, exactly.
So put some thought into it. And is this another opportunity for you to cater that speech, even though you're selling yourself, to how I could benefit your company?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So you want to talk, at a high level, what number of years of experience you have, if it's in multiple industries and then some of the things that you've done, and kind of tailor it back to what they put in that job description.
Okay.
So
okay.
Absolutely.
So all of that needs to kind of come full circle.
Yes.
When you get in there. And they are definitely going to say, tell me about yourself.
That is the first question. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so that's not a time to really talk about, oh, I have 5 cats and, oh, I'm from Bermuda. That's great. That's lovely. Let's talk about that on the first day on the job.
Right.
Today, we want to talk about, tell me about how you can help me in this role.
Right. Right. Okay. And so you have your, even if it's a little longer than 30 seconds, but you need to be prepared to sell yourself.
Yes.
So you have your appearance good. You're selling yourself. Your resume is good. All right, so I get through that interview, and then they say, well, what do you know about the company?
And you should be prepared for that as well. And so, again, you should know about, again, how do they make money? What's their core line of business?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they geographically? What have they been in the news about recently, or what have you seen on their website? So anything that's on the website or on Google, it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
You should know about the high level points and be able to talk about it. Then tailor it back to, because you always want to come back to, what does that mean for how I can help you?
Okay.
So I see that you guys are in the Southeast. I'm using this as an example. Since you guys are in the Southeast and you guys are using a lot of local farmers, that's really near and dear to me because I grew up on a farm and my grandfather was a farmer.
Wow, I love
that.
Again,
in interviews, again, I want to put this piece in there. It's two things. It's competence and connection.
Okay.
Competence is, can you do the job? Well, your resume says you can. Now we just want to validate it.
Mm-hmm.
But the huge piece about interviews is connection. And that's what a lot of people miss.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to get you the job.
Okay. That eye contact.
Eye contact is part of it. But making a personal, emotional connection.
Okay.
Because people want to be around people that they know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have this litmus test that we would do at one of my companies. Is we think, could I ride in the car with this person on a business trip for 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that you like, I absolutely don't want
Mm-mm.
to. And there's others like, that would be so much fun. They're
yeah.
so cool.
This person is cool. I'm interested.
And, again, that comes in play, again, when you have two similar candidates,
mm-hmm.
similar experience, similar education,
mm-hmm.
and they both can do the job. Well, then how do you decide?
Yeah.
It's the connection.
Are they likable?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I see you in the meeting? Can I see you in the job?
So what about your personality and coming across too eager, like you're stepping over the person, they can't even get their question out because you're jumping in to tell them this, that, another. Any advice for that? Because
yes.
You're gonna be nervous.
Yes, settle down. So yes, you're going to be nervous. And so there's some, you know, ways and techniques that you can try to get that nervousness out. And again, interviewers know that. So they usually try to have some small talk in the beginning.
Okay.
To kind of help you settle down. But in terms of being eager, it kind of goes back to, again, being a good listener. And you're watching your body language.
Mm-hmm.
So you can show enthusiasm and eagerness without cutting me off
mm-hmm.
and already think you know what my question is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and so, again, it's cues and stuff like that that matters. Because
mm-hmm.
think about, again, they're trying to see you in the job.
Right.
And so if you're doing that in the interview, they're going to say, well, I can't put you in front of John Doe because you're never going to let him talk.
And some people think it's rude, but it could just be that you're nervous.
Right. It could be. Absolutely.
And you're just trying to help and get that thought off before it leaves your brain.
Right.
I don't know. Okay. So take a deep breath, calm down.
Yes.
And go in there and just do your very best. Now, once you land that first interview, 2 weeks have gone by, haven't heard anything. Should you call them or should you not?
And it depends. It depends on what they've already told us. Because usually at the end of the interview, either they will offer up, hey, we're looking at other candidates. It's going to take this long. Or if they don't, that's always one of your questions. What are the next steps in the process?
Okay.
And so if they say, hey, we're interviewing over the next 2 or 3 weeks, then no, don't call and ask in 2 weeks. If they say, hey, we're looking to make a decision within the next week or so,
mm-hmm.
and you have not heard anything in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's okay to send an email
okay.
just to follow up and about the job.
Okay. Send an email, though.
An email.
Don't call.
Do not call.
Okay. Does that irritate HR folks?
Yes. It does.
It makes you appear, what, desperate or too eager?
Well, you have to think about how many people they're talking to
mm-hmm.
and calling. So an email is a great, you know, informal way to just, you know, express, hey, I'm so interested in the job. Would love
mm-hmm.
to just, you know, follow up. And they'll email you back.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But to get you on the phone, it's going to be difficult.
Because mm-hmm.
a lot of times it doesn't just end there.
Right.
And so the recruiter is going to be less likely to call you back.
Right. Especially if they're not interested in hiring you.
Right.
And it's okay.
It is okay.
Because that just means that the door is going to open somewhere else.
That's right.
Just keep pushing.
Right. And some doors you don't want to open.
You're like, Lord, that was a blessing that I didn't get that job.
Yeah, because it's all about fit. And again, we all have to make a living. So
yeah.
Again, sometimes you just want the paycheck. But it really should be about the right fit for you. That's why you should be interviewing them
mm-hmm.
as well as they're interviewing you.
What about the other employees? Should you be trying to reach out to people who currently work at a potential, you know, job that you're looking to work, you know, a place you want to work at, you know, work for? Should you be reaching out to those individuals to ask them, like, what's the atmosphere like? What's the morale like?
Yes, I think that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
I think that's you doing your due diligence.
Okay.
And say, okay, what's the culture of the company? What do you like working there? What do you not like working there? And again, it's one piece of the puzzle in terms of information.
Okay.
And that doesn't have to make your decision, but I think that's great due diligence to do that.
What's the management like?
Right.
Do I need to, if I'm 2 minutes late, am I going to be in trouble?
Right.
Or okay, is it a revolving door? Are there a lot of people in and out? Because that sometimes can tell you a lot about the atmosphere.
Absolutely. And why is the job? Well, why is the job? I just saw this job posted 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's posted again. You know, so that gives you clues about the culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this has been some wonderful information, and I thank you so much for coming in, Barbara Mason, to talk with us. Let's tell folks once again about your book. In case you missed it, folks, you gotta pay attention. You have a book that's available. It's an ebook.
Yes.
Give us the name and where people can find it.
Yeah, so the ebook is called How to Create a Resume That Gets a Yes. You can find it at bit.ly/yes-on-resume.
Awesome. And then if folks who have been listening to this, and they want to follow up with you later, how can they reach you?
Yes. So you can go to my website, www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com. You can click the contact form, or you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, all under Career Pathways Consulting.
Wow. And so we've talked about a lot. We've talked about LinkedIn. We've talked about your social media presence. We've talked about your appearance during the interview. We've talked about, you know, that elevator speech or what you should say and how you should conduct yourself during the interview. And then we talked about different scenarios and what you should do when it comes to your resume within those different scenarios. Any final words you'd like to leave folks with before we get out of here today? those who may be like right there on the edge trying to figure out which way they're going to go next?
Yeah. So one thing I would say is listen to yourself. So my tagline is expect greater. Mm-hmm. And what I always say is life is too short to be in a job that you hate, to do something that you don't love to do. And so if there is anyone listening that is struggling with that, ooh, this is not for me, mm-hmm. then take some time and invest in figuring out what is for you and get a plan to do that, because life is too short to do anything different.
That's right. That's right. And aren't there are things that you can do, like online tests that can kind of help you sort through all of that, right?
Now I'm not a fan of the online. There are career assessments that you can do as well, and I certainly offer that, but you want to be weary of a free online test. It's not going to give you the information that you need.
Okay.
You're going to need to invest some time and money mm-hmm. to do a proper career assessment. But yes, there are ways that you can find out what you're good at, what you're not, and what your passions are.
If you need that help, if there is help available to help point you in the right direction if you feel conflicted right now.
Yes.
Okay. And so they can call you.
Yes.
At Career Pathways Consulting.
Yes, 205-259-6161.
That's perfect. And thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you for having me.
You got to come back by and see me.
I would love to.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Career Connections. You can find us at www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com or on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter under Career Pathways Consulting. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, don't be satisfied with the status quo in your career and life. Expect greater, because life is too short to do anything different. See you next time.